Welcome to the
Idiot
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. It's E4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to E4 2024. That's right. It is our favorite time of year. I am Tommy. Jamie's sitting over there. How you doing, man?
I'm good. We're here. I'm watching stuff. I'm happy. It's 115 degrees, but otherwise, I'm happy. Yeah.
We're inside where there's air conditioning, granted in two different places, but we both have air conditioning, which is important. And we're going to watch video game stuff, which is fantastic. It's super fun. And so this is E4 for those of you who may not have been around in the past. We were just talking about how long we've been doing E4 and how we refuse to give it up. We probably should give you a little quick rundown on what this is, because this is what we're going to be doing for the summer. So E4 was our E3 coverage back in the day, and we thought it was clever to add on another E to it, the extravaganza, and call it E4. And it was dumb, and it still is, but we love it. E4 doesn't exist anymore. More, but we still do, and so dang it, we're still doing E4, and we're going to keep it as long as we darn well please. And so it doesn't mean anything anymore because E3 is dead, but we're still doing E4. So this is E4 covering Summer Game Fest.
Actually, you know what? Let me just be real honest. If you want us to change the name, somebody's gonna have to make us a piece of production, and that might cause us to at least consider.
That's very true. You can also sponsor it. We would take a sponsorship and change the name in a heartbeat. Pay us.
Absolutely.
Whatever you want us to call it, we'll call it.
Give us money.
No worries there. So that said, thanks to the guys who do give us money. Big thanks to the Patreon guys, Cabbage Jose, Narc Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, and Jordan. As always, we appreciate your support. We know we've been not as present for the past several weeks, but we are here for E4 and excited to be talking about games for at least the next little bit. It's going to be on and off over the summer. You're about to get a lot of content from us, and then you'll probably not get much content from us, and then you'll probably get a lot of content from us. That's the thing with both the summer gaming news cycle, where we get these big dumps like we're getting this week, obviously, with Summer Game Fest and kind of the associated events with that, and also just with summer schedules and that kind of stuff. And so we are here. We are going to be here. You may hear from us several times in a week, like you will this week, and you may not hear from us for a couple of weeks, which will probably happen directly after this week. And so just know we're here, we're listening, we're paying attention. So feel free to continue to reach out. And as stuff happens, we will be here covering it.
And what he says when he means summer schedule is that he has kids and they own us, because it's summer is their time.
Yes, they're both currently in my house, so there's a good chance that we will see one or both of them in the course of this, so just be prepared. They're cute, so it works, but it is the nature of summer. So all that said, should we talk about Summer Game Fest?
Go.
So this has now become the kind of de facto early summer kickoff gaming event in lieu of what E3 used to be. It's definitely not the same, but it is something, and we appreciate that. So Jeff Keighley puts on the Summer Game Fest presentation, and then kind of ties in all these other conferences, presentations, kind of traditionally-ish E3 stuff. But not the same, obviously. But that includes Microsoft, which they're doing their big thing tomorrow. We'll obviously talk about that. The PC Game Show, which we'll talk about, Future Game Show, all those things that typically happen. But also Jeff's own event that he does, which is what we're going to talk about on this show, which was the kind of kickoff to the Summer Game Fest. And so we'll go through not all the games, because there's some that we don't really care about, but a lot of games. We'll talk about the ones we do care about kind of piece by piece here in just a little bit. But before we do that, just curious, broad takeaways. What were your thoughts on Summer Game Fest 2024?
Well, we always say that the show is really long. Mm-hmm. And to help with the longness of the show this time of year, I always spring for YouTube Premium, because that show does not need more commercials. So I have gotten us 2 months of YouTube Premium, because you'll be here at some point and we will use that. But I watched the show, and it's par for the course. It's Summer Game Fest. It's what Jeff is good at. I thought it was tighter this year. I thought it was more streamlined than usual. Don't really understand the co-host, but then again, I never do because I'm old. I really thought it was a pretty good show. He had some good games in there, talked to some good people, and I was overall pretty happy with it.
I agree. He's good. Jeff is good at this. Like he's fairly natural about it. He comes across both as like prepared and scripted without being contrived, which is a really, really difficult thing to do because you see that all the time with these hosts right. that try to do this thing. And I think he threads that needle well. It has gotten really tight. That is the thing I really like, is that it just feels really tight. He is meticulous about that, of just making sure that the flow feels good. And so I appreciate that part of it a ton. The one thing I was a little surprised by, I'm kind of interested in your thoughts on this. We saw a lot of really interesting games. We didn't see very many big name games. Like like any kind of super blockbustery stuff in this rundown. Like I'm trying to think, like really at all. Like there's just not much like big AAA name brand titles that popped up here. And we're gonna see a couple of those. Obviously, we'll see some of that from Microsoft tomorrow. And so I'm fascinated to see what they bring. Was it any Microsoft really in? A little bit of in here, but nothing. Like they didn't leak anything ahead of time, leak isn't the right word, but kind of preview stuff here that they're like, we'll show you more of it on Sunday. Yumi did that. We saw a little bit of the Star Wars Outlaws that we're going to see a lot more of on Monday when Yubi does their Yubi Forward event. But Microsoft didn't really do that. Not a lot from Sony or Nintendo here. And so it ended up just being like a lot of kind of indie and like indie adjacent indie's not the right word, but like mid-level studios, not the big AAA studios, but kind of mid-level studio stuff. And a lot of it looks really cool. Like I actually really enjoyed the fact that it wasn't like just big blockbusters wall to wall.
I also want to mention that several of the games, Jeff said it, several of the games are being developed by single individuals, which I thought was really cool. We'll talk about Blumhouse and some of the other people in a little bit, but there is a indie development fund out there that I thought was really cool. Very, very well done with some of the games that we saw. I don't think this year we're gonna see a lot of big stuff. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I don't think that's on the table. You're going to see the obligatory Call of Duty that we see every year. You're going to see some of that stuff, but I don't really think there's a ton of like, wow, you know, like traditional Xbox AAA Halo type titles out there, and that's fine. I saw an article two or three days ago that the headline was something like 3 years later and Cyberpunk 2077 still going strong. And as I was watching this, I thought to myself, it is 3 years later and they're going to have till at least 2025, where they have the best looking game on the planet. They have sort of like snuck into that, and like there's nothing out there that makes a custom built PC breathe hard except Cyberpunk, and I don't think that's that bad.
yeah, there's definitely, we'll get into this more too, a stylistic thing that's happening. We've talked about it years past too. You, every year we kind of see these trends emerge, and photorealism isn't the trend right now. It is very stylized, and we'll talk about some of those examples. I do want to quickly mention one thing I appreciate Jeff did, and you kind of hinted at this in what you were talking about. He opened the show by talking about the struggles in the game industry right now with the layoffs and studio closures and that kind of stuff. He took a lot of criticism from the Game Awards of not really mentioning it when there was a lot of the same stuff kind of swirling at that point, and a lot of people felt kind of betrayed is kind of how I took it, reading like industry people who really respect Jeff and was kind of saying, hey, we thought you'd have our backs a little bit more. And so he did here at the very beginning of Summer Game Fest, came out and said, hey, we love this industry, but this industry is also going through some tough times. And we know that. And specifically mentioning so much of what you're going to see is from a lot of these talented people that are working in this industry, lots working in independent studios, or as you mentioned, single developers that are doing this stuff, that this talent is out there. And even though the industry looks like it's struggling in a lot of ways, there's also a lot of life, and we want to celebrate that and support that and that kind of stuff, which I thought was well done. Again, he kind of, I'm sure, felt obligated to do that after the Game Awards and some of the pushback there, but that's fine. There's nothing wrong with doing something that you feel obligated to do in response to the community.
Because here's the thing. Without these people, Jeff doesn't have a show, and we don't have a show, right? So they have a right to speak up and say, hey, you need to back us up here, because if they're not around, none of us are either. So
yeah, absolutely. So that said, let's get into the games, which is the fun thing, and really what we saw. And this is one of the things I like about this kind of show, as opposed to like, especially like UB, and I'm sure we'll get this with UB on Monday. There's just not a lot of fluff here. It was just a lot of games. It's like, here's a game. We just got games. And so the first one, we're just going to go in chronological order here. We'll jump around a little bit, skip some. So again, if there's anything we don't talk about that you want to hear our thoughts on, let us know. We'll circle back around to it. But we got to start with the kind of the first thing that they showed, which is the Lego Horizon game, which I'm interested to hear what you think here. I have lots of thoughts.
Okay, so you have kids in your house.
You have kids. And one of them really loves Horizon. When we played through that, she got real into it.
Yeah, and that was immediately the first thing that I thought about, was like, how do I get in a room with that little girl and just watch her mess around with this?
Yeah,
because that to me, the thought of that brought me joy, and if it wasn't for her, you and I probably would not touch this. When we were 20 years old, we would have looked at that and went, ah, that's cool, but we're not going to play that. Now you have her, and now you have a son that is also going to be crazy about Legos, because kids love Legos. Yes. And so I'm all over this because of your kids.
Yeah,
and I think it's awesome.
I that's ultimately where I land. I'm so conflicted in, it's just a weird crossover. Like, I don't understand how this happened. Like, I want to know like the conversations behind the scenes that led to this, because it's so weird.
Okay. Let me push back on that. Can I just say that all of the Lego stuff is weird? Like,
that's Lego, absolutely true.
The Lego movie is weird. Like the Lego Batman is weird. It's all weird.
It is very weird.
It just is.
But like, those are all such like well-known franchises in popular culture that, you know, like Star Wars and Batman those things exist outside of just the video game world. And Horizon, you know, is a big deal in its own right, but it's not like transcendent culturally past the video game world. It's a big deal in video game world, but it's a, you know, it's like a console exclusive. It's not something like a Call of Duty or something like that that like resonates with people outside of this world. And I don't hate that. Like, I kind of like that that's getting the Lego treatment, even though, like, the part of it that just rubbed me weird is, like, the, like, goofy Aloy, like, stuff, you know? Like, I get it. You can't really have a different character. Like, it does have to be Aloy to be Horizon. But it's just such a different persona of Aloy that it just, like, I was like, it's... doesn't mesh with my understanding of Horizon. I'm just gonna have to get over it because I'm definitely gonna play it and Genevieve's gonna love it. I cannot even begin to express to you how much she's going to adore that game. So I'll get over it, but it's just like it just doesn't make sense in my brain. My brain just can't comprehend it.
The reason your brain doesn't make sense is something that we have complained about Horizon for a while, in that it's been on a cliffhanger for like 6 years, right? Like I have the first game installed, which I'm still actually trying to finish because I want to see the end of that game, right? And we saw the second of the games. We played that all the way through, and I gave my thoughts on that, which was that it was kind of lame because we played for however many hours that we played and we really didn't end up anywhere. The world is still technically ending and we haven't really, like, some stuff happened, but like we've still got the end of the world is still coming, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So to me, the reason it didn't bother me so much is because I thought of this as, okay, Aloy must have somehow averted the end of the world, and this game takes place after whatever happens in the next Horizon game, and everybody's happy and joyful, and I know that I'm reaching there, but like right. that was kind of where I went with that, is that eventually she's gonna save the world. It may take them 8 games for her to save the world at this point, but eventually she's going to save the world and it's all going to be fine. So that's kind of where I went with that. And as a Lego game, the other reason I really didn't have a problem with it is that you can't have a Lego game with a grumpy main character. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Let's just say you can't put my dad as a main character in a Lego game. Like, it just doesn't work. Yeah. You cannot be grumpy and be the main character.
Yes.
In a Lego game.
Which is all absolutely fair. It's just going to take me some time to wrap my head around that. So, but I do think it's going to be cool and I'm excited about that. Another really interesting thing about it, obviously, is coming to the PlayStation, but it's also coming to PC and Nintendo Switch, which is, again, the weirdness of this time we live in, that a PlayStation exclusive franchise is going to release day and date on the Nintendo Switch as well, which is great. I love it. It's fantastic. And it makes all the sense in the world for it to be on the Switch. But also, it's just like, what do these companies even mean anymore? You know, like, all the lines are blurred. There are not these traditional, like, understandings of what the game industry was like in our youth or even like 5 years ago at all anymore.
Which I honestly believe that we're in a holding pattern right now. And we've talked about previously that things are going to have to change with subscription services as far as video on demand and sort of that type of stuff and subscribers and all that hasn't hit gaming yet. And we're kind of in this lull of everybody's happy and everybody's kind of making money and yeah, the layoffs suck and all of that. But for the most part, everybody's happy to put all of their stuff on all of the platforms. And I don't think that can last forever. I really don't. I don't know what's going to happen. But for right now, I'll take it.
Yeah, I agree. So that's Lego Horizon. Again, just cracks me up. No More Room in Hell. Anything you want to mention about normal? No More Room in Hell 2? I cannot say that.
So here's the thing with some of these. And I wanted to talk to you about this because several of these that we're about to talk about, we didn't put 1 minute into the first titles.
Right.
This is one of those titles that I was like, wait, I didn't know there was a first one. It's kind of like Helldivers, you know, people have been talking about Helldivers, and like some of these games just get missed, and that's our fault because as much as we love video games, we can't play everything. And so a lot of this stuff that we're fixing to talk about, like I can't tell you word one about, and No More Room in Hell is one of those. It's like I looked at it and I'm like, yeah, that's cool for somebody. And the guy that I immediately thought of was Sam. I was like, yep, that's our guy right there. We're not gonna play it, but somebody will.
Yes. Yeah, it's there for who is into that, and we approve of that, but it's not us, it was a Source mod originally, right? Like the first game is a Source mod, and so it's cool that it has bloomed in that way and become this whole thing, but not something we're probably going to touch. However, if it is your thing, we want to hear about it, so let us know.
Yes.
As I mentioned before, we'll be brief on this one because we're going to see more of this one on Monday. We saw a little bit of Star Wars Outlaws. Not a lot here, just a little teaser trailer with the promise of gameplay during Yubi's event on Monday, which I'm really excited about. I'm really pumped to see more of this game.
That's what I was about to say. Are you excited or are you worried? Because I after seeing what I saw yesterday, my immediate thought was, and I should have been texting you, but my immediate thought was, I think I have to play that.
Yeah.
And I can't really tell you why, because there were parts of it that made me cringe.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's really cool. That's really cool. And then you see the space flight and the ship models, and you go, "Ooh, like that is not good." Like I visibly recoiled when we got to like stay up. Like, what the crap is that?
That's fair. And it's going to be, because it's a Yubi game, it's going to be a B game. Like that's kind of their ceiling, right? Yubi has high floor, low ceiling, right? Like their games are usually like a C at least, but not an A ever. That's just kind of where they land.
Feel the same way? Because I'm like, all the planet stuff, I'm like, yeah, that's cool, that's cool. Yeah. I'm all about it. And then space flight, I'm like, oh crap.
Yeah, which is not the part of the game I'm all that interested in. And so I'm curious to see if we get a sense of kind of what the balance is going to be and what the game mechanics actually are on Monday. But if you can give me something that's like in the like Far Cry-ish realm, but it's Star Wars, like, okay, you know, like it's, I'm in on that. Like I like the idea. And even if it's just an 82 Metacritic game, an 82 Star Wars Far Cry kind of game is a game I'm going to be into.
Okay. Can we just say, just so we can specify that we're not opposed to 80 something games at all. I bought one yesterday and fired it up for like 20 minutes. I've played no more than 20 minutes of this game, but it's very clearly a B game.
Yes.
And I'm okay with that.
Yes. That not every game is the best game ever made, or, you know, in that category. The thing that specifically I have a problem with right now is I just have such limited time. The only games I put any time in on are either those top tier games, obviously like Final Fantasy we're playing right now, or Balatro or something like that. Yeah. You know, like it's hard for me to find the space for something like Star Wars Outlaws that's not going to be that top tier, but it's also not like indie casual general kind of thing, which are the kind of two places I am right now. I'm hopeful that that will open up a little bit more in 3 or 4 months. But for the next 3 or 4 months, it's not happening. The good news is this doesn't come out for another 3 or 4 months. And so we've got some time to get there. But those are the kind of games that are missing in my repertoire right now.
Holy crap, people. We could spend 40 minutes just talking about Boadro.
Right.
That's just, we haven't done that yet, but we could. That's where we're at. Like, I was going to tell you, I thought I had an amazing day the other day. And what made it an amazing day is that I got in an hour of Cyberpunk, an hour and a half of Boadro, and Final Fantasy VII Remake all in the same day.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that I had time to do that was amazing! And it never happened.
Yeah. Yeah, which is great. That's the dream right there. We can hope for that. We saw some Harry Potter. So returning to Harry Potter world with now just the big missing piece of the game, the Harry Potter game that we enjoyed, was a good B game, which was Quidditch. Quidditch didn't show up in what is the name of the Harry Potter game? I'm totally blanking.
The
Harry Potter game. Anyway, it was missing Quidditch, and now they're just putting out a standalone Quidditch game. This one I'm not sure about. Like, the idea of Quidditch as a mini game in the Harry Potter game would have been cool. As a standalone game, I just don't know that there's enough like depth to Quidditch as an actual like game to make it fun as a video game. I'm really skeptical that they're going to be able to pull off something that captures me for more than 20 minutes. However, I did notice, I'm pretty sure I caught this, that it said it would be on PlayStation Plus day one. So that's cool. I don't have to pay for it extra from what I'm paying for my subscription. So I can just play 20 minutes of it and be happy with that if that's all it deserves. But it's still a shame that it wasn't a part of the original game. I understand why it wasn't a part of the original game. I'm glad they followed up and put out the standalone, or are putting out the standalone.
So here's the thing with this. This is one of those games that we can say whatever we want to say, but I'm not going to be shocked if it goes completely nuts.
Yes.
And it's a much bigger deal than the original game, which for the life of me, I cannot remember the
Hogwarts
name
Legacy
of right now.
That
yes, that's it. Hogwarts Legacy. I would not be shocked if it was a massive flop or a huge, huge, huge deal.
Yeah.
They did not actually say if it was going to be multiplayer, but if it is multiplayer, I could see it going big just because people are into that.
Yeah,
we're not, but people are.
Yeah, you would imagine it will be multiplayer. I have a hard time seeing it not be multiplayer, right? Like, just the nature of the game. If they can like make it captivating enough to draw in at least those hardcore fans to get the word out, that will bring in some more of the kind of casual Harry Potter people, they could be onto something. It could be huge. I'm skeptical that it will be huge, but it could be huge. But either way, it's good that it exists. It's good that we get to see kind of the realization of that thing that we didn't see. Let's see what else. Cuff Bust was one of those single developer games. It's a prison break game where you play as like koalas, kind of koala-ish things. I don't know what they are, but weird little teddy bearish kind of things escaping prison and like beating guards over the head. And it's both like kind of like brutal but not gory. Like it very strangely kind of straddles that line between cute and mature, and I don't know what to think of it. I love the idea of prison break games. Like, we've talked about this. We played a good chunk of
No Way Out.
That was fantastic. This one I'm not quite as sure of, but still it looks goofy and fun.
Can I just say that there's going to be a lot of games over the next couple months that I think will be a requirement to take some drugs before you play. And this is one of those. This is one of those games where you're just like, okay, I'm going to take some drugs and I'm going to have some fun and not think about it too much.
I think that's probably going to be the case for this and a lot of the other games, as you mentioned, that we talked about. It's fair. So that was, like I said, one of those single developer games. I'm trying to remember what else. There was, so Neva, I think it was Neva.
Neva, yeah.
It was from the developer that did Grease, which was very, very highly lauded, very beautiful game. This is also a very beautiful kind of arty game. Great soundtrack, beautiful visual side-scrolling kind of platformer. It feels like it could be kind of Metroidvania-y. It didn't really totally clock as a Metroidvania game, but somewhere between a platformer and that kind of Metroidvania stuff. It's one of those ones that, like, I want to play just because of the visuals of it. It's just pretty. It's kind of like Ori and the Blind Forest, like right. That kind of visual vibe to it. And I just love that. And I can play those kind of games all day. And so I imagine I will try this one out when it comes to whatever subscription service we pay for, which it certainly will at some point.
That's correct, sir.
Because they all do. One of my favorite parts of the whole thing was getting a little bit of Sid Meier, which for us oldies, Sid Meier's like one of my like gaming heroes. And so it was cool to see Sid Meier talk about Civ 7. No shock there that Civilization 7 is coming. But we got a little teaser of Civ 7. And Civilization's one of those franchises that just every time a new one launches, I will spend a chunk of time playing through it a couple times and then put it on the shelf and never come back to it. But that's okay, because it's totally worth it for that couple times of playing through it, as they're phenomenal games.
I will say that I was kind of, I don't want to say surprised, but I guess surprised is the right word, that the graphics and the trailer did not look better. They kind of went along with some of the other titles that we're talking about, very stylized, very different looking, but I somehow expected them to be sharper, and so I'm kind of curious about that. Civ is always a very pretty game. It's not ever the most gorgeous game that you ever seen, and so I'm not sure what caught me off guard, but just something about it, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think that's fair. We didn't see any kind of gameplay or anything in the teaser, to be clear. It was just kind of this conceptual thing, like going through time. It was like this kind of almost three-dimensional timeline kind of experience, which even took me a little bit to figure out what it was. And I was like, oh, I think I got it. And then Sid Meier pops up and you're like, okay, that's cool. It is what Civ always looks basically the same, like you're saying. Like, it's always just a little bit prettier than the last time. It's not anything that is the prettiest thing you've ever seen. And that's not what it's supposed to be. It's a strategy game that's big, you know, zoomed out, like lots of stuff happening. But I would love to see a tweak to the formula. That's one thing. I love Civ, and if they change nothing about it, I will play it and be perfectly happy with it. But Civilization's been more or less the same for a long, long time. They do little tweaks every time, obviously, but there hasn't been anything that has really taken the formula of Civ and tried to expand it out in like 30 years, not quite 30 years, but that's like, this is like Civ's been around for 30 years and it's almost the same game that it always has been. I don't know what you do. I understand why you don't want to take that risk, because it's a successful franchise. And so you kind of keep doing what you do with it. But I wouldn't hate it if they took some risks with this one, and if it bombs, but they took some risks, I would say, cool. Like, I'm glad you did that.
Well, I think in his defense, he took the risks 30 years ago.
Exactly.
With some of the early stuff, Alpha Centauri and some of the, like, I mean, he did all of that 30 years ago.
Yes.
So that's why that's not happening. That said, the last Civ game that I that I bought, that I owned. Actually, somebody gave it to me before we even started the show, believe it or not. Well, not before we started the show, but a long time ago, was Civ 5. I didn't buy a Civ 6, and I'll play Civ 7 because it'll be on Game Pass or somewhere. But it's not something that I'm like, ooh, I have to have that. Like that's your thing. And if we get a chance to play it together, I'll be ecstatic, but it's not something I have to sit down in front of.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's fair. Let me keep going here. Games that look good, that I don't have any clue if they're going to be good. Black Myth Wukong, what do you think of this thing? So it's like Planet of the Apes is just what I think about every time I see it. It's very pretty.
Well, okay, so the most shocking thing of the whole thing was dude walks up to a cliff and pulls a staff out of his ear, and look who it is. I know that little girl. Hey, little girl.
Can you say hi?
What are you doing?
I'm sitting with Daddy.
I see that. I see that. Are you going to let us finish the show, or are you going to wreck it? Because you can wreck it if you want to wreck it.
Hi.
Okay.
All right. I see you in a little bit, okay?
I'm hungry.
Okay. Well, we'll get you something in a little bit to eat. Do you?
Ice cream.
Is Mama downstairs?
Ice cream.
Yeah.
TV. Huh?
TV.
Yeah, for a little bit.
Yeah.
Shut the door on your way out. we knew it was gonna happen, so there it was. So anyway, dude pulled the staff out of his ear, which was gnarly.
Yeah.
Didn't really know what to do with that.
Like, I was watching, I was like, oh, okay, cool, what,
right? Yeah, I really just don't know what to make of the whole thing. It's like I said, it's really pretty. And that's what I've noticed about it every time that we've seen it, because we've seen it a couple years now. It's coming out later this year, and so like it's almost here. I just don't know like why I should be excited about it other than it's pretty. It is maybe the prettiest game, just visual fidelity, that we saw in the whole thing. As far as like that more high-end photorealistic, again, it's like an ape man, so not exactly photorealistic, but you get what I'm saying. I just don't know how to get excited about it. I'm just not, even though I feel like I maybe should.
Okay, so can I help you out a little bit? I think part of the reason that you're not excited, same reason I'm not excited, is because we feel like we have so much other better crap to play.
Yes.
You know, that's I think that's going to apply to a lot of the rest of what we talk about, is that it's all cool. We're glad it's there. But, like, we have Spider-Man 2, like, just waiting on us to come back to. We've got Baldur's Gate 3 that we haven't finished. I'm still playing Cyberpunk. I just bought Midnight Sun yesterday, which I'm excited about, which has been out for a year. like, there's so many games to play. And so unless something just really grabs us by the ear and says you have to pay attention, it's hard to get excited about something that may not be anything huge.
Yeah. Unless something pulls a staff out of our ear. That's fair. That's kind of how I feel about it, even though it's very pretty. I'm going to jump around a little bit here just to skip over some of the stuff that, like Metaphor, which is from the Persona developers. Cool, like huge games, but like even though I've played a little bit of Persona 5 and really enjoyed what I played, it's just a game I don't have the time to put into right now. And so this, like, it feels like it's for an audience that's not me. That's great. I love games that are for an audience that's not me, but we're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about it because of that. Batman Arkham Shadow, an Arkham VR game. Looks very pretty. Arkham in VR sounds like a fun thing. It's about the Rat King, which is cool to see something different in kind of Batman universe game-wise. It's a VR game, and that's the thing.
I was going to say, do we have time real quick to have a short discussion about VR games?
Yeah.
Because one place that I feel like the visuals have to be there is VR.
For sure.
Right? Like, that's your medium. It has to look good, and it has to have decent gameplay. The story in a VR game, like there's very few people that can tell a really good story in a VR game. And so I can take or leave that, but you've got to have good visuals and you've got to have good gameplay. Otherwise you got no chance. And I don't know that this game has either. So I didn't get super excited about it.
Yeah, the little Batman experience that we did in VR several years ago was really cool. It's one of my favorite kind of VR things that exists. And so the potential's there for something really fun, but VR is just such a struggle still. And so,
yes,
we're not going to belabor that much here. What else? Dragon Ball. There's Dragon Ball Sparkling Zero. If you are into Dragon Ball, again, something that I used to like, haven't done much of.
Yeah, see, you watch Dragon. I'm too old for Dragon Ball.
I mean, that was
25
years ago that I watched Dragon Ball, which just blows my mind that it still is culturally relevant today, because I was watching it when I was in high school.
Can we please talk about how is the Power Rangers still relevant?
Yeah, my goodness. That's going to be huge. I predict that's going to be a massive
deal.
There is a weird, like, Power Rangers was never my thing. We'll jump to that since you brought it up here. There was a Power Rangers game also announced. It's kind of this retro-ish kind of vibe to it, which looks kind of cool, kind of cartoony, like has kind of a like Saturday morning cartoon meets beat 'em up, like old school Ninja Turtles beat 'em up feel to it, but Power Rangers. Like, I dig that. That's kind of cool. But I don't have this like nostalgic connection to Power Rangers, even though Power Rangers like started kind of in the sweet spot, at least for me, when I was a kid. I watched it a little bit, but never really got super into it. I feel like just a little bit younger than me is probably where it really hit.
Like, when I was growing up, it started. I mean, there's not that much age difference between us. Right. But I remember. I remember as a teenager looking at it and going, okay, that's weird.
Yes.
Because I didn't understand that it was Japanese and that's where it came from. And so I just always thought it was weird, and I still think it's weird. But I'm like, as I was watching this, I'm like, if this were something else that we loved with five people in suits, we'd be all over it. If it were Voltron or Transformers that didn't suck, it could be anything. And so I totally understand why people are into it, because of what they grew up with.
For sure. Nostalgia is a powerful drug, as we have talked about and seen and live into all the time. Note that we are playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth right now. Nostalgia is a powerful thing. So a couple of fighting games showed up. Street Fighter VI is getting new content. And so we saw some of that. We saw some Fatal Fury, which again, from us when we were 15, these are things that would have had us very excited in my 40s, not quite as much.
Okay, so can I just mention, not to be nitpicky, but they had the co-host Joy,
yes,
intro Street Fighter VI. She said she was really excited, and she had played most of them, and I'm thinking, You've only been alive for 15 minutes. You played most of them.
Yeah.
That was a little weird. Because when we were growing up, like, Street Fighter was the thing.
Like, yes.
Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat, those were the two. There were not other games. And so I thought that was a little weird. But you know, I'm glad it's still out there.
Yes, I am too. And there's still an audience for it, and that's cool. And again, something in my like young soul is happy about that, but just not something I'm super into now. You mentioned before the Blumhouse Game Showcase. This is pretty cool. So this is from Jason Blum. Is that right?
Blumhouse.
Who did Five Nights at Freddy's, and there's more of that coming, which he promised. Is this kind of game, I don't think studio per se. What do we call this? There's I'm sure a name for what this is, but a collection.
I would call them like a similar to a Devolver. They're trying to be a distributor.
Yeah. Yes. So in that realm, but with kind of weird horror games, right? Like think Five Nights at Freddy's, but a lot of other stuff that's kind of not the same style and not the same kind of horror, but like weird like that is. And so they showed a handful of different titles, one called Fear the Spotlight that's coming this year. Again, mostly not my speed,
although
some of it looked kind of cool.
Can I say that they had one in there that I was like, you and I gotta try out, because it was done from an angle of a developer or something.
Yeah, it's called The Simulation, I think.
Right.
That one did look really interesting.
I was like, out of all of these, that's us. Like,
yeah.
They're going to get us on that one.
That one did, I agree. Yeah. Looked really interesting that you're like almost like solving the mystery of this horror title in like the context of the game developer and like debug mode and like all this like manipulating the world. It looked very strange, but did look interesting. I'm glad you picked that one out too, because I do think that one looks really interesting. Another kind of artsy side-scrolling platformer that is right up my alley, Deer and Boy.
Yeah,
I saw this and was like, oh yeah, that's what I'm definitely playing. And then Genevieve actually watched the trailer with me and also said, oh, I want to play that. And I was like, perfect. You know, yes. Like, I am raising you right. This is the correct taste in games. And so that is one that will be in our house very, very, very quickly after it comes out.
And I also want to mention that's where they started talking about the fund for indie developers and what they're trying to do. That is really super cool. I'm not a horror guy. I'm not into that, but because of what they're trying to do with this fund and indie developers, I immediately thought we need to reach out and see if we can get them on the show, because this is really cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. So this was, if we're thinking about the same thing here, I think we are, from the Among Us developers.
Yes,
they came out.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. Yeah. But just to put that in context, they've announced this side project that's called Outer Sloth. So the developer is called Inner Sloth. And so their outreach is appropriately enough called Outer Sloth, which I really like. But helping support indie developers, which is super cool, because they had this kind of just weird like breakout game that nobody really anticipated to be a big deal, I don't think. And Among Us just blew up. And obviously they've reaped some both financial success and some industry success around that, and have the ability to now take some of that success and share the love, so to speak, which is super cool. Just really, really, really fantastic. And so it was cool to see them come out and talk about that. And then, you know, showcase kind of some of the people that they're working with and kind of games that they're kind of working on. And so I love that. And again, it leans right into that thing that we talked about, that Jeff talked about at the beginning of the show, and how that's a core element of what the gaming industry is today.
And just to be clear, I got confused there. The reason I brought that up, Dune Boy is one of those titles that they are funding, I believe.
Maybe and, so. I don't remember that directly, and, but you and, might be right.
Yeah, I believe it is. That's one of the ones that they are choosing to fund, and my brain just went there, so I apologize.
No worries, because it's super cool, and we love that. So good on them for taking that platform that they have and helping other developers out with that. So let's see here. A couple other ones we'll move through here fairly quickly. But two we haven't even talked about yet that I think are my two, maybe three, that are my most exciting. But this one I'm really excited about. Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. So I will admit that I've played a little bit of Kingdom Come Deliverance. Not a whole lot. But it's a game that always intrigued me because it's like a medieval game. Yep. It's not medieval fantasy. Like, it's just straight up a medieval game. Like, you just are, like, living the life of a dude in the Middle Ages. There's no magic. There's no, like, anything like that. And one of the reasons, like, it didn't capture me, I think, is one, is that it's hard. It's just a hard game. And two, that, like, I don't feel like they quite had the kind of pacing and that kind of stuff right. So I'm hoping that feels a little bit better in the sequel. But the just world and environment of Kingdom Come Deliverance, I fell in love with really, really quickly because it just puts you in a medieval world. Again, not fantasy. It's not Skyrim. It's just like you're just a dude living in medieval times and figuring out life and dying all the time because it's easy to die.
There's some really, really amazing feeling about the prospect of just being able to stab some dude in the eye.
Like,
seriously, that's what it is. You like that? You're right. No magic, no nothing. But I would really just like to stab some dude in the eye.
Yeah, and there's something different about it when it's a game where that's like not what you do necessarily, you know, like it is, but it isn't. Like when you play like a medieval fantasy game, again, when you have magic and like crazy weapons and all this kind of stuff, like you stab dudes in the eye, like playing Final Fantasy. Like Final Fantasy 7 isn't medieval fantasy, though a lot of Final Fantasy does lean more that way. Still, like you just are, it's like so over the top, it's so bombastic that like there's, you have to do like crazy things in that game to have any kind of like visceral reward because it's just so over the top. But like a game like Kingdom Come Deliverance, like stabbing a dude in the eye is like super visceral because it's just like not what the game is like or that world is about. And so like when it happens, you're like, oh, ah! You know, like it just like,
yeah,
like
that's exactly right. That's exactly the response. I mean, it was like I'm sitting here and the sound is up and I'm watching it on the big screen because did I mention I'm doing all of this in the game room where we're recording this? And I saw that, and I saw a couple people get stabbed, and that was my initial thought. Ooh! That's that is great! Can I get some of that, please?
Yeah, for sure. So, Kingdom Come Deliverance looks cool. One thing I'll mention about it, too, is like that one looked prettier than I anticipated. Like I was kind of surprised in some of the visual fidelity of that one, so also interested to see where they take that. Another one, one that you texted me about that you just knew that I was going to be pumped about, which I am probably the one I'm most interested in from this whole thing, is Cairn, the mountain climbing game that there was the developer talked a little bit about the inspiration, about her dad, I think it was, on an expedition climbing K2 and all this
Lost
kind of stuff.
Half his people.
Right, yeah, like a pretty harrowing journey, obviously, which many of these stories amongst these kind of major peaks are. And it's always been a topic that's both fascinated me and I just love mountains, as we've established many, many times over. And so like a serious like mountain climbing game, as like dumb as that sounds in a whole lot of ways, is also just amazing to me. And so I'm really excited about it.
We've been doing this a long time, and the first thing I thought when I saw that was like, yep, we're gonna play that.
Yeah.
Like there's no offense to anybody else, but Cairn will get our money before some of these other titles do.
Yeah. Yes.
I just because it's like it's your thing. Like, and I'm not able to climb a mountain, so there is some like vicarious thing going on there. So yeah.
Yeah. I'll mention the next one. When I watched the trailer, wasn't that into, and then they told me who was behind it, and I went, oh, okay, I'm gonna have to play that. That's Wander Stop, which kind of sets itself up as like kind of life simmy, talking about like a tea shop and like some maybe farming sim and that kind of stuff, and like, you know, like fine, and those kind of games are fun, and I've played my fair share of Stardew Valley, as we all know. But there's like something weird about the whole trailer of like there's something kind of lurking underneath, and it doesn't.
She's a warrior. She's a warrior. I'm happy.
Right, I mean, and it seems like it's going to deal with maybe, you know, like mental illness or whatever. And I'm interested to see where that direction goes. But then Jeff said, from the developer of the Stanley Parable, David Davey Redden, however you say his name, and I went, oh, okay, okay, now that's a must play, because the Stanley Parable is still just one of the best gaming experiences I've ever had.
I haven't had time to talk to you, but I had the chance to go back through the Stanley Parable last weekend.
Nice,
because Avery was here with her boyfriend, which we could have an entire discussion about that. Because dude is so freaky, like he is you. That's all I'm saying. But which, by the way, what's up, Jimmy? How you doing, buddy? He's probably gonna start listening to the show.
Nice.
It to me, like the Stanley Parable was so good. Like I was sitting there watching Jimmy play through it, because Avery played some and then he switched off and played. It was fun to watch because they play games exactly the way that we have played them our whole life. Like he would play for a little while and then he would get up and she would play for a little while. And I went to my parents' house, loaded up the Stanley Parable for them, and then sit and watch them play it for the next like 4 hours. And it was awesome because I saw like three endings that I didn't know were there when I played it.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I'm super excited about this.
Me too. I'm just really, really pumped. So I'm going to skip over a bunch here because we're just running out of time. And there's just a ton of games. A lot of it stuff. There was information about Pow World and Valorant and Monster Hunter and like all these things that are huge deals that just aren't our deal.
We don't care.
If those are your thing, awesome. Let us know about them. You can call the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210. Yes, it's still alive. I call it every month and tell people to leave us alone. Tommy is sending texts to it.
Yes.
Somebody call the voicemail line. Hey, Jimmy, call the voicemail line, buddy. I know you're listening. Call the voicemail line.
There you go. We want to hear about the games that we don't care as much about from you guys that do care about them, and that's a really good way.
I have to say, I can't spoil it, but okay, this is how I'm getting home. Because while Jimmy was here, we decided to team up on a present for Avery. I can't tell you what it is, because the second I tell you what it is, she'll listen to the show and she'll hear it before it actually gets to her house. But we're doing the uncle boyfriend team up, and that's weird, and I'm old. But yeah, that's happening. So Jimmy, when the present gets there, call the voicemail line and let us know that everything worked out. Cause yeah. I hope it does.
I like it. I gotta hear more about Jimmy at some point. We will get into that. But we're gonna finish up.
That's an off the air thing.
Yes.
Yeah,
we'll finish up with the last game that they showed. And again, note that just not all the big AAA titles that like we mentioned before. But a game that looks very, very cool, which is Phantom Plague Zero, which is So I think you and I probably have the same game that this harkens us back to.
Oh,
so a lot of
Musha, baby.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, it looks like Bloodborne, and that's great. A lot of people love Bloodborne, but for me, and I knew as soon as I saw it that you had the same reaction. Onimusha was a game that we loved. That was kind of the same kind of style game, a Souls like before it was. Souls-like, it was kind of the precursor to that.
Onimusha was Souls-like before it was cool.
It wasn't nearly as hard as a Souls-like game, which is probably why we reminisce on it a lot more. But Phantom Plague Zero just really feels like a kind of Onimusha meets a Souls-like, and that makes it really, really intriguing. It doesn't look like the kind of highbrow is maybe the word I'll use here. Souls-like combat, which I have a hard time getting behind. Yeah. Like, it just is not my thing. I understand why it's a lot of people's thing, but it's not my thing. This looks like it could be kind of a good, like, in between landing place for me that's stylistically in that same vein, but something that's a little more approachable gameplay wise.
Can I go back to the medieval stuff and just say I want to stab some people in the eye?
Yes.
And I want to look cool doing it. I don't need it to be the hardest game I've ever played. Like, I immediately texted you and said, you have to play this because I don't think. Even with the accessibility controller, which, by the way, when you get here, we're going to set up and figure out a way to leave that set up so I can finally start using Game Pass on a regular basis. I think this is made for a controller. I think you have to have a controller to really enjoy this. And if I can't make that work, you're going to play every single second of this because I have to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks super cool. I'm really, really excited about it. I feel like there was a release date. Did it have a release date in there? No, I'm questioning whether or not we saw that. What it did is that it was going to have hands-on experiences at essentially all of the upcoming shows.
Yeah.
And so Gamescom and Tokyo Game Show and China Joy, which I don't even know anything about China Joy as a game show, but that's happening in Shanghai. So we'll have to see what comes out of that. We'll see more of it throughout the year, but it's not.
Get your brother-in-law to go to that for us.
Right. No joke.
That needs to happen.
That would be cool. I think he'll actually be in the States while that is happening. So
fun.
Seems unlikely, but would be cool to employ him to go do some research for us abroad. So anyway, that was generally speaking Summer Game Fest, the presentation side of it at least. All in all, pretty fun. And I thought I was going to be disappointed that there weren't bigger name titles, and I just don't feel like I am. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
I think it's great because all of these titles are great side titles for us to play while we're trying to find time to get through the main titles that we're playing. We always are going to need those. And the great thing about some of these is we're going to find a couple of them that we thought were side titles that end up stealing our souls. And that's all we play for a few months because they're so good. And the thing is that you won't know which of the games does that until you sit down and play it. And that is the most exciting thing to me. Because you're going to find a gem or two out of all of these.
For sure. Yeah. And that's the now process is going through so much of the other stuff that is now out there. So just yesterday after the presentation, we got Day of the Devs, which has now become the kind of traditional thing that follows.
Which I did not watch. So
I didn't watch the actual show, but I went back and watched like the trailers from most of the games from that, which there's a lot of interesting stuff in there. And then, of course, Devolver Digital, which I haven't watched yet.
I watched that. One. Yeah.
So we're going to catch up on that. And then there was a not Wholesome Direct. It was something else that sounded very much like the Wholesome Direct, Future of Play, which was a harmless showcase for the whole family. So That one's happened. And then there's the Wholesome Direct is also happening. And so that is also happening today. And then a couple of other ones that are happening today, including the Future Game Show, which the past couple of years has actually been pretty good. And then tomorrow is Xbox and the Call of Duty one, which we will not be covering. It's just no, we're not watching that. We're not talking about it. It's whatever. But the Xbox showcase, we will definitely watch and talk about. And then tomorrow is also the PC Gaming Show, which we love and we'll be talking about. And then finally on Monday is Ubisoft Forward. And so those are the things that are happening just over the kind of course of this big weekend. And I'm pretty pumped to talk about those. No word yet if Nintendo is doing something on Tuesday, which is, again, kind of their traditional time. It wouldn't be shocking if they just popped up in Nintendo Direct. Sony just did a State of Play.
Which I did not watch.
I didn't either. It seemed like there was a whole bunch of big stuff from it. So I would imagine, I feel like the last couple of years, they did like a big thing in July. And so we'll see if they pop back up in July. But that's kind of what E4 is looking like at this point. And we're going to be popping in and filling in gaps and probably have just a couple of shows in there that are just about what's going on generally, kind of normal type shows as the summer rolls along. But because we don't know what else is going to happen past the next couple of days, we don't really know how this is going to look. And we're going to adjust, and it's going to just be a whole couple of months of E4 as it has been for the last year or two, which is pretty fun. I like the summer of E4 as opposed to the week of E4.
And Logan, I will tell you, because you've already asked, when are we getting in the same room? The answer is, we don't know. All I know is the room is ready. I have a massive air moving fan in here. It is prepared for you.
I love it.
We are ready to go. I even bought an extra box fan. That I'm actually going to use at night so I don't die at night. But when you're here, we'll actually be able to move that and cool this place down even more. So I am getting prepared because I got to tell you, I got this face light on right now, and it's like driving me crazy. So, yeah, I'm getting prepared for you to be here. I'm very excited, but no, we have absolutely no idea when that's going to happen.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to figure it out. But in the meantime, we'll have lots of content as well. And so this is the best time of year still, even if it looks different than it has in the past.
If you want to talk to us, the best way to do that right now, today, is the Facebook page. All of our guys are over there. All the guys that listen to the show on a regular basis that want to talk to us live over on the Facebook page. There's also a lot of you that listen to the show that just sort of work in the shadows and are like, no, I don't want to talk to those dudes. And we know you're out there and we love you. We wish you would talk to us because you're playing cool stuff just as everybody else is. So if you'd like to talk to us, come join us on the Facebook page. Say something cool to let me know that you're not a bot. or some random dude trying not to sell something, because we got like 8 of those who have applied for membership at the group, which I've totally ignored because they're very obviously not with us.
Yeah.
So if you join the Facebook group, which please do, say something cool and let me know you've been listening for a while. We also have the Twitter X available. And I know there's a lot of people from Twitter who listen to the show who do not appear anywhere else. So let us know who you are, where you are, and what's going on. I know there's at least 4 or 5 of you that we never hear from till I say something stupid on Twitter. and then you pop up. So, yeah, let us know what's going on. I will repeat what I have the last previous few shows, that we know we needed an Instagram. We understand this show needs an Instagram, but we're not doing it. So if you want to help us out and start an Instagram for the show, like, we'll totally let you do it. Send us an email, gaminguncensored@gmail.com, and we will totally let you get that started. because we're lazy.
Yes.
We just are. That's the way it is. Other than that, sir, is there anything else?
I think we're good.
All right. I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. This is Gaming Uncensored. Continuing coverage of the Summer Game Fest, previously known as the Electronics Expo Extravaganza. And it's only on GamingUncensored.com. We're out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.